traveled during his entire ministry. 10,000 miles. That's not quite halfway around the planet. Planet circumference is 14,902 miles. So 10,000 miles, not quite all the way around the planet. And that is simply remarkable, given Paul's era, and even more significant, given how fast and how far the good news of God's love in the resurrected Jesus was spreading throughout the world. And this is down as far as Jerusalem in this particular photo, and across to Greece, which is off the screen to your left. This really is Paul's world initially, and then eventually includes Rome and Italy. So my intent this morning is to help us once again situate Acts and what we have today in chapter 13 in some context. The Acts of the Apostles and their ministry to both the Jewish and the Gentile world is dramatic. Already you may be experiencing some of that drama in the ways that the writer of Acts tells the stories of the works and ministries of the apostles. There are all manner of amazing and wondrous stories of God's Spirit at work. And pivotal, of course, is the conversion of Cornelius, who is a Roman centurion, and he was converted into the Christian community. And you may remember the conversion of Cornelius took place a little earlier in chapter 8, chapter 9. But the significance of that event has quite a ripple effect across the whole world. But so do transactions like the one we read about today. This is a really interesting one, where Paul confronts a magician who's been trying to sway the proconsul into the realm of sorcery. And to be fair, it was not uncommon for sophisticated Romans to employ astrologers and sorcerers in order to help them make wise decisions. So they kept these folks on staff, essentially. It was part of the cultural practice. It was commonly accepted. But Paul was not amused by the sorcerer's intent to draw the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, away from the teachings of God. And in this transaction, there is an echo back to the contest between Elijah, now we're in the Hebrew Scriptures, and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel to see whose God has the most power. Maybe you remember that. And if you don't, I encourage you to look it up. Lots of drama. Lots going on. By God's Spirit, and we know who won, right? The poor prophets of Baal did not fare so well. By God's Spirit at work in Paul, the sorcerer Bar-Jesus is proven to be a fake. And it does not go for well. It does not go well for him either. He's reduced to a stumbling and bumbling fool, groping for a hand to lead him. The imagery is quite intentional. The proconsul, Sergius Paulus, is converted, curiously not so much by the event, but by the teachings of Paul about the Lord. Paul's journey continues at a breathtaking pace. As I said, in 16 verses, he's traveled quite a route already. He travels to Perga, then on to Antioch in Pisidia. He preaches in the synagogue there, and that's where our story leaves us for today. He simply invites those gathered in the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia to listen. What follows then is Paul's speech. Paul's preaching in the synagogue. And he is proclaiming the risen Christ. as a continuation of God's work among both Jews and Gentiles. And that's really important. The message was for all people. He is proclaiming the Messiah. And of course, not all are convinced, but many are. The movement of those soon to be called Christian continues to grow quite rapidly. The movement itself presents serious theological complications for those who are more traditional. They didn't like Paul's message at all. But it also provided hope and love for those looking for compassion and healing who were both Jewish and Gentile alike. But it also asked a much deeper question. And the question is something like this: who is the one that holds authority over all life? Now, in a primarily Greco-Roman world, where the emperor reigns as God, the Christian answer to this question was not the emperor. It was the God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of Moses, the God of the resurrected Christ. This is a powerful God who presides over all creation. No sorcerer or Caesar can hold sway to that. Now, the proclamation of the life-giving God in the risen Christ caught on very quickly. It provided hope and unconditional love for everyone. It provided accountability to a power much greater than any human institution or government. The God proclaimed by Paul and Barnabas through the Spirit and the risen Christ was one of might on the one hand, but unconditional, inclusive, and compassionate love on the other hand. And this also presented significant issues. A society adhering to strict hierarchical social classes defined by economics, gender, and ethnic origins was challenged by a new community of faith which told its converts that there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Imagine the impact of that wisdom on that culture. Now maybe things are not so different in our time. Those in power in various regions of our world still try to divide populations according to conventions that are defined by class, by gender, sexual orientation, and ethnicity. Almost all of those things were in this week's news. And here we are, a community of faith following in the way of the risen Christ and the preaching of the apostles, proclaiming the beauty of being one in Christ. Cutting directly across that which tries to divide us. The Christian message at its heart is not conventional. It is inclusive, and it accepts diversity. Lest you don't believe me and need more proof, then why does Acts make such a big deal about the conversion of an Ethiopian eunuch, a Roman centurion, and a hater of those following the way of Jesus. You know who the hater was, right? Paul. This God will not be domesticated by the politics of the powerful or by those who spread fake news. Those who try to shift attention away from the deep and powerful cosmic wisdom of God will fail and stumble around, groping for a hand to lead them. Of course, the wonder and awe of Acts is over the top as it points to the ways of the sacred. It's a literary function to prove an all-pervasive theological point that the God of the risen Christ is a God of life and love whose reign is one of peace and oneness. Everything else, including the emperor, is dust. While the Acts of the Apostles and the journeys of Paul are wild and woolly, it serves us to sink into the deeper meaning of the stories. They are designed to be awesome in order to make the point unmistakable that there is huge power in God's love. And for the apostles, God's love in the risen Christ is boundless and unstoppable. If it feels like the story keeps picking up momentum, it is. Such is the urgency of its message. Such is its power to instill love of neighbor, practices of hospitality, to establish hospitals, and set the right conditions for equal treatment of all citizens in a way that outlived the Roman Empire. At the halfway point through the book of Acts, that's exactly where we are, and on our way towards Lent and Easter, the enthusiasm of the apostles and the early Christian converts ought not to be lost on us. We have work to do. Our job is to love, to seek, to save, to heal, to offer hospitality, and to proclaim the joy and wonder of the God of life, alive in the risen Christ and in the moving of the Spirit. These are not my words. I'm just borrowing them from Acts. Our time is not a whole lot different from Paul's time. We are also caught in the machinations of empire. What we know is that our lives are informed by wisdom that is timeless and true. By living in God's Spirit, we can discern what's fake and know what's real. The question, of course, is what are we going to follow? And how are we going to let shape, and what are we going to let shape our lives? Let me ask that again. The question, of course, is what are we going to follow? And what are we going to let shape our lives? How persuaded are we by those who spread fake news and continue to disrupt and divide? Or how grounded and rooted are we in the wisdom and daily practice of following in the way of the risen Christ? It's a pretty big question for these times.